We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Back to more of the Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
Curtis is a superstar. That's the story. From the Cisco Brewers in Portsmouth. Getting all kind of photos. Everybody's done with the race pretty much. Even Greg. Under 42 minutes, but not under 40. Good, not great.
The highlight of the day. So far, there's been many highlights, but there are many people coming up, incredibly nice. You know, all big fans of Greg, support the show, all that. Very nice to meet all these people. But this couple came up that was a little older, very sweet. And they talked to Ken. They met Ken at an event. They're talking to me. And they say, well, we're also big fans of Mutt. Because we like the horse race.
Because we like the horse. It's always following with it.
It is amazing. I went to see Mutt at the old, where's it? It's now defunct.
Suffolk Downs.
Suffolk Downs.
Yeah.
And it was literally 85-year-olds in Mutt.
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally.
He's like the youngest. It's not even by like 30 years.
He's like the only horse player left on the planet.
It's such a bizarre world.
Yeah.
Anyway, but a very good event. And I'm going through all these teams. Can we just stop the schedule thing? It's such a dumb, weak argument.
No, it is a good argument. How many good wins do you have? Not the whole toughest schedule.
But it's
tell me how many good wins.
Do you think
that is significant?
Do you think if the exact same game was played today by the Buccaneers against this Patriots team that they win by three? The Patriots are a much better team today than they were in week four.
Okay.
And the Bucs,
you know,
Bucs
had a big... But that's Bucs all you got to go by, Curtis. That's what you do in college football, right? You go by who you beat, when you beat them, what the circumstances were.
Well, we have these two things in between our ears that we use to look at things, and I think that anybody... My point is that Nick Wright is saying what he hopes to have happen.
Well,
there's no factual data behind it. He's not using some empirical evidence that says absolutely the Patriots are fraudulent. You and I watch every game. We watch the red zone. We watch as much football as we possibly can.
Yes.
But there are not teams that are definitely much better than the Patriots. There are better teams.
Okay, but how confident are you? I know you started the show this morning with you believe it's going to be Patriots and Bucks in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
It's happening.
Yes.
And that, by the way, is like the betting favorite right now, which is crazy.
It is the betting favorite.
But how much money would you put on it right now?
Oh, my God.
I'm
out of cash because I bet like 70 different things this morning.
Like, give me a percent. How confident are you the Patriots will be in the Super Bowl?
Oh, man. Like, how much money would I bet?
Or just percentage. Give me a percentage.
I would say that the Patriots right now have a 30% chance to make the Super Bowl.
All right. So it's low. But that's okay.
Well, according to the New York Times, it's 13%, and that leads it.
But so you have doubts. You have a large. There is a big question mark still with this team. That's all you got. I think
when
that's fair.
When the Patriots were great, okay, 2004-16, I thought at a certain point in that year that they were definitely going to the Super Bowl. Like the Patriots in 16, they beat the Texans and then they blew out the Steelers and went to play the Falcons.
Yep, and everything always worked out for them. Jerry always pointed that out, and he was so right.
And they were a wagon in 16 and 04. That might have been the best Patriots team outside of 07. But for the most part, over the last 20 years, when the Patriots have gone to 10 or 9 with whatever it is, you don't know right now that they're definitely going. You had Peyton Manning, or you had Patrick Mahomes, or you had really really good teams standing in your way. I don't see those types of teams.
I do see a Bills team that kicked your ass 38-9 last year, standing in your way in Buffalo Monday night with a rookie quarterback who I love, and I think they found the guy, but it is a primetime game in windy weather. We have no idea what to expect from Monday night.
Totally. But what does it say about the Bills that we are less than a year removed of them going to Gillette Stadium and winning by 30, that they're now at home favored by 2?
Yeah, true. They obviously have questions as well. But let's go to the phones. Let's go to Bob in Wilmington next up on the Ken and Curtis Show from Cisco Brewers in Portsmouth. Hi, Bob.
Hey, good morning, guys. As always, appointment listening on Saturday. I love listening to you guys.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate that.
I look at this a little differently because we never know what's going to happen in the future. We know what's happened in the past, but living in the present, I am getting so much fun out of all of the reports coming out of Buffalo, how the fans are shaking in their boots because here come the Pats. I think it's just so much fun. If I'm taking a step back and saying, okay, this is not what we expected this year, especially after last year. So let's revel in it and enjoy it. And that's what I'm doing. I'm going to enjoy Monday night and everything that leads up to it. It's fabulous.
Yeah, that's a good approach. You're right. It becomes less fun when you're starting to like, well, who did they beat? Blah, blah, blah. It's all unexpected. You're right about that.
This is like, I've said it 1,000 times, Rob, but this is 01. This is what it felt like that year. Every week there was another guy saying it's all going to end. It's not real. They're not that good. And every week they got a little better, and it turns out that they, you know, won a championship. Obviously, a lot of things, beginning with the snowball game and the tuck rule, had to go on, you know, on their side. So obviously there's going to be things that happen. But you're right. We have the biggest game in the NFL this Monday night is between the Patriots and the Bills. It's the biggest game of the week, and it's going to be massively important to both franchises going forward.
Hey, a little tidbit that I happened on during the week. In the last 25 years in the AFC East, the Bills have won one division championship, right? It's the same number as the Colts have won in the AFC East, and they left.
Oh, did you see that stat, Rob? The most wins at Ralph Wilson Stadium or whatever it is. It's like Belichick has one or two less than Sean McDermott.
it's hilarious. Crazy. They're shaking in their boots, and you probably can hear it. I got this big smile across my face because it's so much fun that the Pats are back in. And then one last thing. In the last 25 years, the average number of wins to win the AFC East is 12. I actually think we're going to get to 12.
Okay, could happen. Obviously, an extra game this year.
And another thing that, Rob, thanks for the call, Bob. The thing that I also hear from a lot of Patriots fans now, at the end, you know, Tom was miserable, all that, and it was this sort of like birthright to the AFC Championship, and any loss was this huge issue. There was like winning was okay, I can take a breath.
Yeah,
it wasn't like celebrating each win.
It was formulaic. It was just
right. I mean, it's like the Yankees in the 90s in the regular season. It was like you're just getting to the playoffs. In this team, it's like people are allowed and not like encouraged and celebrating the regular season again because they forgot sort of what this was all about. And I think that this team has brought back a lot of that old school Patriots fandom. You know, I grew up when the Patriots won. It was like, holy cow, that's awesome. I mean, it never really happened. And then it became this sort of birthright for all Pats fans, and now I think we're back to where we were, which is good.
Belichick's record against the Bills is 35-7. 35-7. And Brady's, I'm sure you know this, 32-3 against the Bills in his time here. 32-3!
Two quick Brady notes. It's your fault you mentioned him. So one was in the latest Man in the Arena. So you remember when Fitzy and Tom in 2019, shortly after we started the show, did the like best passes to in his history?
Yep, yep.
So Tom volunteered, and I think this is definitely number one or top five. He said one of the best passes he ever threw was the after Bettis was stuffed on fourth down, fumbled, the Patriots recovered, immediate play action to Deion Branch down the middle of the field.
Mm-hmm.
He said it was like 50-mile-an-hour winds, crazy night.
That was the coldest game I've ever been to. I was there in the stands, yeah.
He said that, and that, like, shut him up because I think it was, like, 10-0 Patriots at that point. So he said that was his best throw, which I can't really argue with. And the greatest game he says he ever played, I've heard this, he talked to the lady, Andrea Kramer, was the 2007 game against the Bills at Ralph Wilson. I think they won 52-0. He had like 7 touchdown passes.
Have you been watching Man in the Arena every week? Is it good? I mean, is it like?
I actually like it more because you're hearing a lot. So you know how the America's team, they pick 2 or 3 guys from that year's roster talk about the whole season. So each Man in the Arena, it began with Bledsoe, and then in the second one was Rodney Harrison, was a big star in the second one, and then the last one, which was the 3 out of 4. It was Brewski and Vrabel. And I get so much more out of Brewski and Vrabel talking about Tom because they reveal sides that you didn't see that wasn't out there and what made those guys tick. And that 04 team, I believe, I don't care about 07, maybe the greatest assembly of talent, but I think the best team in the Belichick-Brady era was 04.
Do you believe the Pats are for real? 617-779-7937. Let's go to Ben on the Vineyard, where Cisco Brewers is also a powerhouse. What's going on, Ben?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
First Good. How are you?
Long time. Just wondering, do you think this team has peaked too early, and do you think they can keep this momentum going, you know, up until the playoff push? And I know this is a big, big 3 weeks coming up playing Buffalo, you know, twice in a month here. Do you think they can keep it up?
I guess. I mean, it could be. They could. They. I guess. Time. I mean, what would you base that off of, though?
I don't know. I've been
like
I've
Mac
been
hits a wall.
Once we get this lead, I mean, I've been really comfortable that they're going to win. They just need some.
I do think there's going to be adversity that's introduced here, Ken. I think that's absolutely. They've been on a really great run. They've also, you know, they've had a little luck. Their opposing field goal kickers have been awful. If you want to look at one specific thing that has helped the Patriots and sort of percentage-wise hurt their opponents more is the fact that Nick Folk has been unbelievable, and they've had a lot of key kicks missed against them.
A lot of the teams, I mean, they haven't come back hard. There hasn't been, like, a point swing. Once we take the lead, it's been, like, cruise control. You think they can, you know, play this Buffalo team? You think it'll be back and forth?
Yeah, and I think that the game against the Titans might have been different. Obviously, they won by 20-something points, so it wasn't close. But in the end, it was you had that, you know, great run by whoever his name was on the Titans, and the ball gets knocked out, and J.C. Jackson gets the fumble, and, you know, there it goes. But if they actually score on that drive, they're up a point. So, I mean, there's a lot of different things that have happened.
Well, that is interesting. I mean, they got run on last week. No matter what you want to say, they got gashed. There was some excuse-making after the game that they schemed us, right? Wasn't that what Lawrence Guy or somebody said? Almost like trying to make excuses for it.
Well, and Bill said that, you know, they outcoached us in that regard. So it was pretty clear about the running game being partially his fault. But
do you see, like, Devin Singletary ripping off 150 yards Monday night?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is that even if they do, I still think that they're going to be opportunistic. Every time this year when the defense is needed to come up with some type of a game-changing play.
Yeah, they have.
In Los Angeles against the Chargers, the pick six when Herbert had the ball and the lead, and you win that game. I mean, one of the biggest plays of the season.
Let's go to Dave in the car. You're on Ken and Curtis. Hello, Dave.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
All right. How are you?
I'm doing great. So a couple things. I'm not like super like anxious over this game. I personally think they're going to go 11-6. I think they're going to lose two out of the next three, and then win the last two. And I'm fine with 11-6. I think that the issue I have with this next Bills game is, you know, not having Duggar in there potentially could be some issues. I think the Bills are going to do something they haven't done before, which is they're going to be patient. They're going to dink and dunk, and they have the weapons to do it. I think having Knox, who's a huge weapon, and not having Duggar on there, I think that's going to be an issue. I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring game, but I see them losing this game and then losing either. I think they'll probably lose to the Indy, and then they'll beat Buffalo and then win the last two and go 11-6, which to me I think is a good season.
You know, Bill might like that. Wiggy made a point this week that, looking back on that man in the arena, he was happy they lost to the Steelers in the regular season.
Yes.
Because he could instill, you know, lessons. So if that caller is right and they lose the next two, but then win the final three to end the season, and you go into the playoffs on a high note, you have beaten the Bills at home, and you're 11-6, I think Bill's happy with that.
I do think
they don't get the bye.
The final two, I think it'll be that they beat the Bills, because if they beat the Jaguars and the Jets, not the Jets, the Jaguars and the Dolphins,
and the Dolphins
to end the season.
Yeah. Well, Dolphins all of a sudden won 4 in a row, right? And by the way, he brought up Knox. If you recall, Knox was the guy that got Belichick to throw the phone last year in that second meeting when he reviewed it, if it was a catch or not, and it was upheld,
right.
and he threw the phone, which is the gift of the year. Well, one of the gifts of the year.
Yeah.
So that's personal now.
Absolutely. And listen, Bills hurt everyone last year, just like Tom hurt everyone with Mahomes, saying that Mahomes, it's already there. He's going to be Brady. Bill last year heard everyone say that the Bills now own the AFC East, that this is McDermott's division, that this is now the Bills.
That billboard on Route 1 cut deep.
I mean, you don't think he... stuff?
Yeah.
Of course he does. And so,
he does.
You know, it is such an awesome spot to be in as a fan and as a member of that team. You literally have nothing to lose because you can beat them at home in a couple weeks, and they have everything to lose.
They do. Danny and Quincy, always ready to appear on the show with nothing to lose attitude, and he joins us now on Ken and Curtis. How are you, Danny?
Hey,
Kenny. Curtis, I told you a long time ago that Belichick and Brady, and I haven't watched that arena thing, but I told you they used to sit down one-on-one and go over the game plan for the next game, right? And the only thing I got wrong was the day they did it. I think they did it on a Tuesday, and that maybe on their day on the team's day off, and I thought it was on a Friday. But, I mean, you watch it.
You didn't tell me that. I saw it. Danny, on a Football Life, they showed that in 2009.
Right. Oh, okay, because I brought it up several times. They used to be one-on-one with each other, you know, something again. But anyways, that just shows you how close the relationship they had. So, you know, so.
You know, also I heard is that Brady was a captain.
shut up. Go ahead,
Hey,
Danny.
Listen, as a captain, I'm a nervous Nelly all the time, always waiting for the other shoe to drop and how to figure out how to solve it when you're out on the ocean, especially when you're carrying people. That's why I'm a nervous wreck about this game. Because
what if by land?
You know. Just think about the storyline, how it's going to change if the Patriots lose this game. Belichick will go from the GM and the coach of the year to, the once again, the Al from Everett's and the Bill from Framingham's and the Stevie from Fall Rivers, who have been completely absent from the radio the last month and a half. Where have they
been? You're right about that. Great point.
Where have they been? Well, I haven't heard from them, you know? So I'm more worried about what the perception of the team is going to be and the coach if they lose. And I don't think they're going to win. I think Buffalo, I mean, if I'm a Buffalo fan and I'm in the media in Buffalo and you think Buffalo Bills think they're going to lose this game on Monday night in front of their home fans? I mean,
well, to be honest, they better win. They should win. Absolutely, they have to win this game.
But you know what will it do to the perception of the Patriots? You watch the media. Watch your station next week, and all the Ted Johnsons of the world, they'll be stomping on Belichick's head if they lose this game. They didn't win. See, if they win it, if they lose a close game, it'll be same old Patriots. Can't beat a good team. You know, close but no cigar. If they get blown out, brother. I might go underground because I won't be able to handle it.
Danny, I would just say to you, why don't you just switch who you watch and listen to? Because I don't think if they lose this game, people with a brain on their head are going to say the season's over and Belichick's dumb. I think the team
is already... the haters will be out. He's right about
that.
What do you mean by that? If they lose 28-24 on Monday night, Josh Allen with the last-second touchdown pass to Steph Diggs and they win the game, what's the national narrative?
Well, sane people will say, hey, look, it depends upon how the game goes. But, again, the Belichick, look, the guy from Connecticut, you heard him earlier, right? He's not a Patriots fan. He's a Brady Bobo, you know, and he can't friggin' wait for the Patriots to lose on Monday night and for the season to get on a trasher. So,
here it is. Bradford just wrote a story. Belichick better win Sunday or Monday, or else Dave from Connecticut will be mad.
Well, he will. I mean, he called earlier. You could hear it in his voice. You know,
right? There are people that hate the Patriots. That's not breaking news. I really, if you have a brand on your head,
the
Patriots. If the Patriots play well and lose Monday night, it will be this sets up a big game against the Colts and then a great rematch in 2 weeks, and it'll be that the division is back in play. If the Patriots win the game, then the Bills' entire existence over the last 5 years is exposed as a fraud.
Well, I agree with you on that, but you know, last week's game, Curtis, I think that game was a lot closer than you're leading on, man. The Tennessee Titans, they bludgeoned the Patriots. You had Josh McDaniels twice get down to the red zone, first and goal from the 8-yard line, hand the ball off twice.
Danny, I hate to say this during the middle of your call. Danny, it was. Oh, God.
I mean, it worked, but
Danny, can I just talk for a second, please? You're going banana land.
I know.
Ken just got proposed.
Danny, what do you think of the Shaughnessy picture of Robert Kraft where he says, "Hi, chair alert"? Low blow?
I didn't see it, man. I don't know what you're talking about.
You got to check it out in the Shaughnessy column. Anyway. But,
are you on the phone or are you just yelling? What do we hear?
I'm there in I might as well be there. But Curtis, you gotta be with me on that.
I tuned you out, Danny, because I tried to talk three times and kept yelling.
It was a good call. Danny, you did a good job.
In the middle of Danny's call,
She said she loves me.
A woman proposed to Ken Laird.
Well, it was very nice of her.
It's like the girl Inez at the Tom Brady Media Day.
You definitely have attention deficit disorder. There was a trending this week on the show. In the middle of my report, you just started shouting, "Where is the Brady statue?"
Well, yes, you know I have attention. I have several things. That's the least of my concerns.
And it's always during the Bruins talk. You always, just drop a bomb in to try to get us exit. You look for the exit.
Right. I don't know. I think people like it.
It's not 2014. There, you can talk Bruins every now and then.
We have Bruins Thursday at the radio station. It was my idea.
It was not your idea. It was Greg's idea, and it was a good one. All right, 617-779-7937. By the way, a little disappointed.
But do you notice with Danny, like, he, when we don't have something to disagree about, he has to create an argument that will lead to a disagreement.
Yeah, well, he likes to argue with you. It's good. Pretty much the same time every Ken and Curtis show. Yep. It's always about Brady. Let's get to what's trending now here on the program.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to, and we're sorry, the Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
MJ10, Curtis, how do you feel about the new trademark of Mac Jones?
It is the first mistake of the career of Mac Jones. I was shocked that Wiggy was like okay with this. Greg seemed okay with it.
Do you know the backstory of it? So tell me who trademarked this for him.
So last week, the day after Thanksgiving, November 26th, the trademark was filed by an applicant known as Mac 10 Enterprises LLC.
Okay.
The attorney that Mac Jones's enterprise used was Darren Heitner. Darren Heitner represented Antonio Brown in one of his... The guy has just paid a bill. He'd be perfectly fine. So he tried to get him out of something in the past. So Darren Heitner represented Mac Jones, and they placed and got approved the MJ10 trademark.
Now, that doesn't mean, I guess, he's going to use it, but he's protecting it? Is that like he might not necessarily start merchandise lines with MJ10 on it?
And I heard the Pats boys going nuts defending this, saying that it's a protective action, that this is to save himself money down the line in the event that people start using his name and likeness and all this stuff.
Which, so if that's the case, I'm less upset about it.
Okay, Patrick Mahomes, does he have a trademark on his name? Does Josh Allen? Does Jared Goff? Does all these other people in the NFL? Because shouldn't they protect themselves? It's horse crap. You know, when you got that news, you said, bad move.
Bad move. It was my first instinct. But I will say, because TB12 is established as a brand, whoever the next guy was, there would be a push to start the line of the successor with the initials and the number. So if you're Mac Jones and his people, you would be upset if somebody started that without you and started making money off it, right?
Do we have any evidence that that is going on?
No. No evidence that's going on. But I'm sure, somebody would have done it. I mean, Fitzy probably has 5 different merchandise items with MJ10 on it.
Ken, at this time, when this broke, whatever this was, when Darren Revelle broke the story a couple days ago, so say it's Tuesday morning, Bill is settling into a nice hot chocolate by the fire with Linda, and on his, Burge sends him a text like, did you see this?
Yeah.
And what do you think his first reaction was?
Distraction. Potential distraction.
No,
don't like it.
It was this. You've got to be effing me.
Yeah, I guess, but maybe now is the NFL different? Everybody's got a trademark lawyer, and they're all doing this. And I mean, Edelman did it. It's not like Belichick's ever turned his back on Edelman.
Does Bill have BB6 or BB8?
Well, he's got Subway ads. I mean, he's done more stuff to promote himself than ever before.
So he was he did an advertisement for a company that has a trademark. Is the same as filing to get your own trademark.
I just think he's a little more. Cam Newton has stuff. God, he has everything. He's got every trademark Instagram, social media, metaverse thing you could possibly imagine. Build it and bitch about that. I don't think it's going to be a problem. I just it is an eyebrow raiser.
It's not a problem in that it's not going to impact the team or any. That's obviously not what I'm saying. I'm saying we're just getting to know Mac Jones, correct? We didn't know anything about him until he got here.
Right.
He seems like he is batted 1,000. He's done everything right on and off the field. Seems like a wholesome guy, good family kid.
Yep.
Lives with his girlfriend, has her run routes, all that stuff. Great. This is the first thing he's done that hasn't been what I would deem the right thing to do.
But it's not bad unless he starts the clothing, footwear, accessory line with the MJ10 brand. Then I'm really unnerved.
Okay. Well, then we'll talk about it in 6 months.
If he's doing UGG ads, if he's doing everything Brady has done and following in the footsteps.
You allow the people to get to you. You change your thought.
But it's at this point, it's just something to mention. Now,
and let me be clear. I don't care. It doesn't impact me. I'm just saying what I thought when I first saw it. It seemed like the first misstep he's made.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. But he's got big games coming up to prove on the field he can live up to the reputation or to the hype, including Monday night, where I believe 6-25 is the record of rookie quarterbacks on Monday Night Football all time.
Wow.
6-30, something like that. It's outrageous. I mean, rookie quarterbacks just generally struggle, period.
So when was the last rookie to win on Monday night?
I don't know. I've not done the research on that.
I'll get it. We can figure that out during the break. But, yes, No, it doesn't even have anything to do with how well they do this year. I'm just saying this could be a bad sign. We don't know what it's going to manifest itself into, but we believe that, or I believe that this is you may be allowing your handlers too much power if you're starting to enable this type of stuff to occur.
Now, on the field against the Bills, Tre'Davious White is out.
Right.
Pretty big loss.
Huge.
However, the Bills defense is number one in Football Outsiders passing DVOA.
Oh, jeez.
So they allow
Aaron Schatz.
They allow a league best 57% completion percentage to opposing quarterbacks. That's a league low, and they've only allowed 8 passing touchdowns all year. So this is a big test for Mac.
What is it? What sharpens steel?
Steel. Iron sharpens iron.
Iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
So you have the team with. This was the craziest stat of the year that I saw yesterday. Patriots receivers have 5 drops in 12 games.
Wow.
5 drops. Mac throws a very catchable ball. He has a very high completion percentage. So this is going
to be... How about in the wind? 25-mile-an-hour wind. By the way, the Belichick answer, we got to play that about practicing in the weather. Tremendous answer by Bill this week.
And you know what? Bill and I are coming together every day. We both hate weathermen.
Yeah.
He absolutely despises it. The first thing he says whenever – I don't know who asked the question this week, but, you know, they said the weather looks to be that it's going to be windy, and he's like, well, it's 3 days out, you know,
yeah,
we'll
usually,
see what the weather –
you know, talk about it once we know for sure when it is, which a lot of times that's when we get to the stadium. It's hard to really think, hang your hat on a lot of predictions here, so we'll go with the known information, understanding what it obviously could be. We're not expecting overheating and – fans on the sideline.
And by the way, did I nail it or did I nail it? Matt Durant digs for the number. Since the debut of Monday Night Football in 1970, 31 rookie quarterbacks have started on Monday Night road games, and their combined record is 6-25. 6-25 on the road. That's an important distinction. And they've struggled big time. 4 rookies, Jeff Garcia, Geno Smith, Sam Darnold, and Justin Herbert, threw multiple touchdown passes in their first road Monday night start, but Ooh. Garcia and Herbert both lost. 9 rookies threw at least 2 picks. 10 were sacked at least 4 times.
So, I mean, we just need him to play like Geno Smith. So, well, we're good.
Good research there from Florio. But that's he is going to have a tough go just based on the numbers.
And it is going to be one of those nights because the NFL world is going to be fixated on this game because of the ramifications.
That's true. And they'll all be tuning in, and if he struggles, as Danny from Quincy said, and you didn't want to hear it, the haters will be back out.
Right, but of course the more haters, you know how many haters the Patriots had week one this year? 0, because nobody thought they were going to be anything.
They were insignificant.
You have haters because you're good. It's a compliment. It's good that you have people that are predicting you to lose or being angry about your success because that means you are relevant. Last year sucked. You didn't have any of that. You had sympathy. Now you have hate and anger. That's good. That means the Pats are back.
617-779-7937. Are you convinced the Pats are back in a Super Bowl contender type of way. We'll get back to that discussion because the odds favor now, Pats and Bucks in the Super Bowl. I want your you go to the New York Times every week.
Yes.
I want you to give me the updated odds next. What are the Pats odds to get there to win the division? For the Bucks to get there to win the division? Can you actually do some work for
me? Yeah, and I actually saw the New York Times. They have the odds 100% Biden reelected. So.
And I think that we've got some Bruce Arians chatter to get to as well.
Yes.
Regarding your Tampa Bay Bucks and the Antonio Brown situation. We'll do that on the way. It's Ken Curtis. We're at Cisco Brewers at the Jingle All the Way 5K to benefit the Greg Hill Foundation.
Now back to more of the Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
All right, obviously we have two guys suspended. The league did their due diligence, and we move on. I will not address those guys for the next 3 weeks. They'll just be working out, and then we'll address their future at that time. Other than that, there's really nothing to say. And it's a big, big game for us. It's a division game on the road, and I know everybody wants the other story, but we're playing the Falcons. I don't give a shit about that.
Just to clarify, you say you're going to address it when the suspension is over. Does that mean there's not been a decision about their future or about anything?
Nothing's been decided, no.
Well, that's Bruce Arians discussing the suspension that will take Brady down. Ruin the chance for Brady to win another title, really, Curtis, when you look at it. Although, let's be honest, the defense carried it last year, so maybe they'll do it again. It is depressing to look at the Tampa Bay schedule. As you know, I'm not a fan. And
why do you have such anger and resentment?
I mostly, at this point, just like to poke you with a stick.
Why? I love you.
Love you too, buddy. But, God, their schedule, other than the Bills game.
They have morphed. The NFC South is now the AFC East. It's unbelievable.
It is pathetic. He's going to play Atlanta this week. That's a blowout. Then they get the Bills. Okay, finally.
But the Bills, after a Monday night game, huge game for them.
Yeah, true.
I mean, it's a great spot to be in. They consistently find themselves in those types of games.
Saints, Panthers, Jets, Panthers. My God.
The Saints, get ready for this week. Thanks to Josina Anderson. The free Diet Cokes just keep coming. Unbelievable. I'm never leaving.
What a star you are.
I wanted extra lime. No. So Josina Anderson yesterday, after it came out that Taysom Hill had fractured a hand or something, who, by the way, sucks. I don't understand the obsession with Taysom Hill. But she says that the Saints should go after, wait for it, Colin Kaepernick to get back in the league.
It's been a while since a Kaepernick reference.
Could you imagine? It's currently a Sunday night game. I think it's going to get flexed because the Saints suck. But could you imagine Colin Kaepernick's debut Sunday night football against Tom Brady?
At this point, like, I can't even make a case to talk about Kaepernick because it's not realistic. I mean, it's just...
I'm not looking...
No, I know.
I'm saying it would be the... I mean, anyway, but...
He's gone. The point of no return, he's just...
The Saints suck. The Falcons suck. The Patriots... keep doing them. The Bucs' final three games. Carolina. The Jets. Carolina.
But back to Arians for a second. He also said, when he was asked if he felt his team was singled out in this investigation for fake vax cards, quote, "I just hope they don't stop looking." And then when asked if fake vax cards were a league-wide problem, he said maybe.
Oh, God. Bruce.
So he's trying to play the victim here.
Well, no. I think Bruce Arians is legitimately pissed at Antonio Brown and,
well,
by proxy, Tom Brady.
If he had just paid his freaking chef.
It's
not a fit in our locker room.
Do you have anybody in your life where, like, they, no matter how gold-plated something may be, like, they just always turn into an abutment? Like, this guy has the most, we agree, top five in terms of just talent in the NFL as a receiver, all time.
Yeah.
Could be, I mean, people in the league have said he's the most talented they've ever seen. And all you have to do is go to work, go home, get vaccinated, and pay your bills. Like, that's all of us have done for the last 2 years. And you're on the best team with the best quarterback, a chance to win back-to-back Super Bowls and totally make people forget just how big of an a-hole you are.
Or if you don't want to get vaccinated, there are people that don't, I understand.
Right.
Just admit you didn't get vaccinated and wear the freaking mask in the building as per the CBA.
But you know how, like, you do something wrong and your dad's like, wait, how did this happen? You know, and with me, I never really had a good excuse. But with Antonio Brown, why are you on the cover of the newspaper today? Why are you suspended? Oh, I didn't pay my private chef $5,000.
Exactly. Right. Like, it's incredible.
What's the likelihood
Mac Jones
AB gets back in Tampa?
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Oh, God, Greg's back.
Do you think he's got a cut? What's happening?
I don't know. He was just talking trash.
Okay.
Oh, ooh. No salad?
Yeah. You left us here about an hour ago. Okay.
Anyway.
It's Greg's fifth pulled pork sandwich, by the way. This is like an end well.
Greg, you got to eat something. You lost too much weight today.
Let's
anyway.
Go to Rob and Swampscott in the meantime while this gets settled out. Hi, Rob. You're on the Kenny Curtis Show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
All right.
So the stat that you just brought up, the 6-25 stat, the rookie quarterbacks starting on Monday Night Football on the road, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but that stat is completely irrelevant, and I'll tell you why. Oh. None of the teams involved in that stat are teams that are going to be playing Mac Jones Monday night. None of the quarterbacks involved in that stat are Mac Jones. And that stat goes back when football was a different game, so it doesn't even make a difference. And I can prove it. 6-5 is equivalent to about 1-4 odds. Okay? If you felt good about that stat, I'll put up $25 that says Mac Jones wins. And if he loses, you take my $25. But if he wins, I get your 100, because that's the equivalent of the stat that you just provided.
Well, while you were talking, I just put $1,000 on the Red Sox on this app that's unbelievable here. It's just amazing.
Bless your
betting
heart,
money left and right.
Bless your heart.
But Rob, you got to admit, I mean, just in general, rookie quarterback on the road against a good team with some weather, I mean, it's a daunting challenge.
Okay, so let me tell you what a challenge is. A challenge is walking into College Station for a Saturday night game with Texas. Okay, a challenge is going down to Ole Miss. Okay, or playing in front of 100,000 people in frenzied people. This kid has seen big time football. It's and the big question mark for me was he going to be able to adapt to the adjusted speed of the NFL? And so far, it looks like he has. His thought process looks like it is good enough to be able to process in under 2.5 seconds and find the receiver that needs to get the ball.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, he has looked good so far. Thanks for the call, Rob. That's some good points.
But I mean, I do think it's obviously a great stat. Because no matter what changes in the NFL, rookies and your first, you know, it's all about when you're an alcoholic, they talk about a year is important because you go through everything, your birthday, 4th of July, whatever. And when you're a rookie quarterback, all of this is fresh. You need the reason why, above just obviously wanting your team to win for obvious reasons, the further this team goes, the more games like this Mac has, the better it is for his future. Like this game Monday night is going to be a test for him, a big test, toughest test yet.
Well, and it's against McDermott and Leslie Frazier, who you think are pretty good coaches.
Right.
It's your first time facing them. They're going to have something up their sleeve, you'd expect.
Right, and if he struggles, it'll be beneficial because it's something to learn from, and if he succeeds, he's further ahead than we think. But all of these games are just awesome.
But it is, you know, the one thing, because we deal with Wiggy every day on the show, and he, I mean, just crumbs. He gives Mac like little bits of credit,
man,
here and there.
That's the biggest thing I've heard from people today talking to me.
Oh, yeah.
They are fed up of Wiggy ripping on Mac Jones.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
They don't like it. But the most impressive thing for Mac, and you saw it in the Titans game. In fact, Hasselbeck, one of the Hasselbecks, was on this week, and I watched him diagnose a bunch of plays of Mac at the line of scrimmage, and it is just impressive to see pre-snap, you know, not to be a football hardo.
Well,
but
I mean,
like,
you are.
But all the pre-snap recognition, what the opposing team is, the ability to check out of a play if he doesn't like it.
The Mike.
Mike's linebacker identification, not to rip on Cam. But for a rookie to do that, that is something. And to be 5-0 on the road.
On his football team.
He's a passenger to a 5-0 road record.
I mean, when you watched last year, and Cam is just a stand-in, right? At no point did I feel like, oh, they're going to probably do the right thing here. A completed pass was a cause for celebration. And this year, you have a guy who is one full year in college. That's it. Wins the national championship. I mean, not even mentioning that, you're a senior in college. You win this would be like Burrow going from LSU to winning the Super Bowl with the Bengals.
Right, right.
I mean, has that ever happened? I'm sure maybe. I don't know. But a guy that won a national title, was drafted in the first round, then made it to the Super Bowl in his first year in the NFL.
Well, no, we know that's not happened. There's no rookie quarterback that's ever started a Super Bowl, so it's never happened.
So doubly never happened.
Have you not been listening to the show?
No, I was just, it's pretty amazing when you put those back-to-back.
Yeah.
You go with Saban to win a national title, then you go to Belichick to go to a Super Bowl. 1 year, back-to-back.
That's a hell of a passenger. Now, speaking of Wiggy, he has declared this is Belichick's greatest coaching job ever in his entire 50-year career, whatever it is.
Oh, you know what? And that's just, that's another way for him to deflect away from Mac talk.
Totally. I want to get into that a little bit with you next. It's the final hour of the Ken and Curtis Spectacular. at the Jingle All the Way 5K to benefit the Greg Hill Foundation at Cisco Brewers in Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.